I appreciate Adam not only as my next door neighbor, but as a servant of the Lord. I know he is zealous for the Word of God and for a desire to serve Him. And so I'd ask your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother Adam this morning.
Thank you, Andy. Good morning, everyone. For those who are in my Sunday school class, I hope you're not tired of hearing me. I have some thoughts I want to present this morning. Looking at the clock, it's about 11. Well, that clock says it's 11:13, which means about 11:15. And you guys are hoping that you are. Or maybe not, maybe this isn't fair, but you know, there's probably a good portion of you, or my children at least, are hoping that I'll only be up here for 3,600 seconds. All right? That's an hour, 60 minutes. All right? You're hoping that I'm only going to be up here for a certain amount of time. I want to talk this morning, I want to talk about time, and something that's been... I've been thinking about lately. There's been several things that have, I think, prompted my mind to consider some things. You know, I had a conversation, a phone call, the other day with a coworker, a former coworker, who is going through a very difficult situation, and because of circumstances and things, look like they're probably going to be losing their job, and called me distressed and struggling and very beside themselves, and called me looking for some comfort, for some direction, for some wisdom, for all those things. And, you know, I had this lengthy conversation with her, and we had worked together at one time on a squad for maybe 2, maybe 3 years. She had come in onto that squad. We were a squad. We were very close. We worked very closely together. We had a ton of fun. We did phenomenal work, and we had some changes happen in the middle of it. And here she showed up on that squad, and she had mentioned to me. She said, "You know, you guys really didn't like having me there," and she was right. We didn't. She threw a wrench in all of our works and everything that we did. And you know, as she talked about that, of course, she had mentioned, she said, you know, even though it wasn't ideal, she said, "Those the favorite times I've ever had in my career." And looking back, you know, it was the favorite times I ever had in my career as well. But I left that conversation feeling this thought and this feeling that I've had frequently throughout the past year. That I wonder if I took full advantage of the time that I was given with certain people and in certain situations and all that, that I had presented before me. And this is only an extension of some thoughts that have been on my heart. You know, as I look at my children, you know, I was, you know, Zane is starting to get to the point where he doesn't really want me to hold him at night before I put him to bed. I hate that, and I wish that I had some time back to be able to hold my baby, who would be very angry if I called him that, to be able to hold him again. And, you know, there's this reality that we have is that, you know, we live in this realm and in this thing that is governed by time. And, the things I want to talk about tonight, nothing that we haven't discussed before, and maybe not even that I haven't discussed before, but I want to take these next, you know, 3,500 and something seconds here to just cause you to think throughout this next week. You know, I had written in the Zion's Advocate, this recent one that came out, you know, I put an editor's note in there, and one of the things I started with was, you know, this year is over. We're done. 2018 is about to be a memory. And, you know, and I remember vividly, you know, New Year's this year. And this year has been a struggle in a lot of ways. It seemed like it's gone very slowly, but as I look back, it just goes quicker and quicker. And I want us to think a little bit here about some things, and I don't think that I'm going to take all 3,600 seconds that you guys have allotted me this morning. But we'll see here. I want to just begin in the scripture that I want to use as kind of the basis for this, and I want to go to Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to read here in Ephesians chapter 5, I want to read verses 15 and 16. You know, in this particular chapter, maybe we'll touch some of it, maybe we won't, in the context of this particular thought, you know, but there's this whole list of things laid out that Paul, as he's talking to the people and to the church there in Ephesus and us today, he reminds us of is that we need to be cautious about all sorts of things. And then he makes a statement here in 15 and 16, and he says this, in 15 it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, cautiously, carefully, paying attention to what it is that you're doing, not as fools, but as wise." You know, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes where it talks about fools, and it says, you know, that they don't understand what evil they do. It's talking about how when they go into the house of God and they say all sorts of things and all that. And, you know, a fool just kind of babbles. A fool just kind of does whatever seems to come naturally and all that. You know, and Paul is saying, he says, you know, you be careful about how it is that you walk. You be circumspect. You be cautious. You look at the days of your life and you walk through it and you do it not foolishly but as wise. And then in verse 16, this thing, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And this is the scripture that's been on my heart. This concept of redeeming the time. And you know, and I think if we all look back at our life and we look back, you know, maybe if we look back yesterday, maybe if we look back throughout this past week, we can see that there's probably plenty of instances where we found ourselves just wasting what little time we've been given. Now, how little time have we been given? You know, all these things, you know, I was doing some research just looking yesterday and looking at kind of the average lifetime of a human being. And of course, they break it down by continent and by country and all that. By the way, if you want to live the longest on average, you need to live in Hong Kong, because that's 84 years on average. But men and women, Americans, you're looking at an average of about 80 years. So I've got a whole lot of people here who have beaten the average, right? But we look at it about an average time of 80 years. You know, in this, I asked Uncle Jim. Uncle Jim is 91, right? He's already beaten the odds here. You know, 91 years turns out to 33,215 days, 797,160 hours, 47,829,600 minutes has been thus far. And how quickly has it gone, Uncle Jim? How quickly has it passed? 47 million minutes has gone just like that. And not to call you out or anything, but my question is have you redeemed the time that you've been given? Have you redeemed it? You redeemed it. Redeemed, here it says that it's to buy up or to ransom or figuratively to rescue from loss. You don't have to answer, Uncle Jim. I want us to think about that. That, you know, are we redeeming the time that we have? Are we taking advantage of it? Are we using it appropriately? Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says it's to purchase back or to ransom, to liberate or rescue from captivity or bondage. The time that we live here in this life, we are in bondage to humanity. We are in bondage to our carnal manners and our carnal ways. And the question that I want us to think about and the statement that Paul is making here is, he says, you know, be wise in the things that you do and in the walk that you have, purchasing back those things that are in captivity to humanity, your time. Because the days that we live in are evil. The days that we live in are full of distractions. The days that we live in are full of things that, you know, it's full of encouragements to procrastinate and all that. I remember having a conversation many years ago with Andy, and he probably doesn't remember this, but he decided he wanted to talk to me about baptism. And in my teenage mind, I said, well, as soon as I get baptized, I have to be good. And so what I want to do is I want to get it all out of my system now. And then sometime later on down the line, I'm going to go ahead and be baptized and be good. But I want to get all the bad out of my system. I want to go and do everything that I want to do. And, you know, Andy, I don't remember exactly what he said. I remember that he did talk to me about the parable of the talents, though. You know, he talked to me about the parable of the talents. You have something that's given to you and an expectation. And, you know, are you redeeming that time? Are you redeeming something that is being pulled in all sorts of different directions? So, Americans, you know, in the course of your lifetime, you are going to spend 1,337.41 days, or 32,098 hours, or 3.66 years eating and drinking. Out of your whole life, simply the process of swallowing and chewing, you're going to spend 3 2/3 years just doing that. Some might do more. Some may do less. That's Americans, right? We spend that time. You are going to spend, if you live an 80-year life, you are going to spend 233,600 hours, or 9,733 days, or 26.66 years sleeping, right? A third of your life, you're going to spend sleeping. If you're working, and you work an average of a 40-hour week, which some work more, some work less. Andy, this is probably way higher for you, right? If you work between the ages of 20 and 65, you will spend simply doing your work and nothing else but entire time of working 10.31 years of your life. So you begin to subtract these things. And if you live 80 years and you take away 26, we'll round that up to 27. And 10 and a half years working is, you know, 37, and then another 4. So 40, you know, half of your years of your life are going to be on some of these things that we don't have a whole lot of opportunity to deviate from or anything like that. And I'm not saying that we can't be trying to do the Lord's work while we're working or anything like that. But, you know, so if we break it down, you know, half of your life you have available to you to redeem, where you have, of course, we have different obligations and all that sort of stuff, but think about it in terms of these things. You know, we live in this finite piece of time. And so what are we doing with it? What are we doing? Are we taking advantage of it? Uncle Jim and Aunt Wanda have been married 69 years. That's 25,185 days, 604,440 hours, or 36,266,400 minutes in 69 years of marriage. Are you redeeming the time that you have with your spouse? Are you taking advantage of the days, the minutes, the hours? And I'm not talking about the time to be in a relationship with each other. I'm talking in your marriage and the things that you do. Are you taking advantage of, and are you buying back the time that this world and humanity seeks to pull from you? I want to turn just real quickly to Alma chapter 19. And I'm just going to read just 38. You probably don't even need to turn there because it's just simple. It says, now whether there is, this is Alma talking to Corianton, and he's just, this is a side statement in the point that he's making, but it draws back to this. As it says, now whether there is more than one time appointed to men to rise, it mattereth not, for not all die at once. This mattereth not. This is the thing here is, all is as one day with God, and time is only measured unto men. And we talked about that in Sunday school today, that, you know, my belief, and I feel like it's pretty well evidenced, is that, you know, time didn't exist until the creation. And time only existed because we are only given a certain amount of it. God was infinite and eternal and was and will be, but men entered into creation with a certain amount of time allotted, and we're the ones who measure it. And we're the ones who look to it. You know, one of the reasons why you hope I only spend 3,600 seconds in here is probably because I recognize for a lot of you who work a 9-to-5, 5 days a week, you know, you give up one whole day to be here. And perhaps you want to visit with your spouse. Maybe you want to spend time with your children. You want to have a family dinner or something like that. Maybe there's some schoolwork you have to get done or something like that. And so you feel the press of time because it's measured unto men. And the question and the thing I want us to consider and to leave you with is are you redeeming the time? Are you doing those things? I want to go back here into Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to begin in verse 1. And I want to spend a little bit of time just discussing some of these things and that we consider what it is that we spend our time with the confession that I'm failing in so many of these things. I'm failing in, and I feel like taking advantage of and redeeming the time that I have. You know, one of these things, we had this parents retreat a couple of weeks ago, and I spent my hour making this presentation and giving a bunch of statistics about how influential we are as parents to our children and all that. You know, in 2012 in Great Britain, I couldn't find anything in the United States, but you know, as they talked to children, and teenagers and all that, the vast majority, the average age that those kids thought that they would be out of their parents' house was age 22. 22 years with their parents, with their parent being that one who was there to encourage and to speak to them and to continue to, you know, to initially in their life set a foundation and to continue building it up. You know, that's 8,035 days. Or 842,848 hours. You know, are you redeeming the time that you have with your children? One of the things in that particular presentation that we had talked about and that studies had proven out, you know, when it came to kids, is that so often kids who decided they weren't going to embrace Christianity, they weren't going to embrace the gospel or things like that, it was because their parents didn't take advantage of the time, talk to them about their experiences. You know, one of the big reasons why I felt a real push on some apologetics things and all is because one of the largest reasons that kids stated, young adults say that they left the church is because they had questions that their parents couldn't or wouldn't answer. You know, so as I look at my children, and if I continue to have, you know, if with Zane, I still have 19 years and whatever else that you know works out to. Am I going to redeem the moments that I have with him to begin to set him up, to continue to set him up and to encourage him in the ways of life that I recognize are true and are good? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. You know, this begins to answer right here the question of how we redeem our time. As we begin to be followers of God, and my scripture has a footnote, it says that's an imitator. An imitator of God, an imitator of Christ. You know, there's one thing that I was thinking about this morning as I was leaving. Rebecca had some music on, and there was a song that we had played when Marlene passed. And I thought about that. You know, that there was one thing, and it was one of these attributes that she had is she was always in the moment. She redeemed the time. If there was a struggle or a conversation or something, she was totally focused. I don't do that. You know, I think of all the times that I've gotten pretty good at kind of multitasking my attention, and my wife and I will have a conversation oftentimes while I'm reading the news. And I feel like I do pretty good. Don't I, hon? Yeah. But am I redeeming that time? Let me go back here. Be ye followers or imitators of God. You know, Christ gave his attention to those, the conversations, the times that he was there, you know, the time that he had, and he knew it was only a certain amount of time. He took advantage of it. And are we doing that same thing? Can we do better? I know that I can. As dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, I don't anticipate that any of us is capable of giving ourselves as an offering and as a sacrifice in the same way that Christ did. But you know, are we offering and are we sacrificing our time away from some of the cares and the things of this world, some of the responsibilities maybe we have? If somebody takes the time to call you, are you giving them your attention to visit with them and all that? It's something to consider, because we only have so much. Fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, let it not be named once among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You know, we begin to redeem the time that we have here when we look past the humanness of feeling like we are owed something, feeling like we have earned something, and we spend our time rather in giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. You know, we come into this time of year, we recognize we're going to have Thanksgiving, and it's a time where a whole lot of people will probably sit down and spend a few moments being thankful. And, you know, many of you, I know that it's a lot of traditions around the Thanksgiving table that you go around and you talk about those things that you're thankful for, but I hope that happens frequently. I hope it happens all the time. I hope that it happens in your quiet times and you spend some time thanking the Lord for what He's done. Looking at your life and seeing where He has taken time out to bless you and redeem those few moments that you have where your mind could be taken in something else, that you buy it back, that you ransom it from the destructiveness of our carnal mind and build on something that is lasting. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You know, there's all these things out there that can become an idol to us. There's one of these things, as I've been reading all these different apologetics websites and things, and I'm really totally into it, and I apologize for being so crazy into it and all that. But one of these things all these guys warn you of is that this particular thing of being able to give an answer for and all that can become an idol in and of itself. You know, we need to be cautious that the one that we are holding up and the one that we are giving our time to and our love and our effort to is God, is Christ, is those things that He's done. Looking to who is the true author and the finisher of our faith. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. We have only so much of it. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, and walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame to speak even of those things which are done of them in secret. Verse 17, it says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is that we improve our time here. I find it interesting because I was sitting and I was thinking of this the other day that, you know, my kids, Zane needs a nap every day, and Grace does too. She doesn't always get it. But, you know, I wish I could reason with Zane because, you know, he wants to fight that nap every day. And every night when it's time to go to bed, he's angry and all that. And, you know, I want to tell him, you're 3 years old. Every day is the same to you. There's nothing different, right? It's not like you have to get up and go to work tomorrow or anything like that. Every day is the same to you. But at some point, we begin to recognize that we only have so much of our life and that we need to be serious about it. For some people, it happens, you know, when you get married. For some people, it happens when you have children. My hope is that it's before you look and you see that your life passes away like a dream, like it says in Jacob. I remember this guy I had talked to many years ago. He was a homeless guy, and he was always doing all sorts of just knucklehead stuff. And for some reason, I was either talking with him one day or I'd arrested him or something. I started asking him about where he came from and what he'd done. You know, he grew up in rural Iowa. I said, oh, my grandma grew up in Iowa. And he said, you know, I went to school. I did really well. He told me about his first girlfriend and all that. And he says, and then I just kind of started wasting time. And he says, and I can't really tell you what happened between here and there, except that 50-something years has passed by, and here I am now. And it was a sad thought to me that in the blink of an eye, we can spend a whole lot of time wasting or looking to accomplish those things that are of no value. But in the end, you know, the Lord asks us to be considering the amount of time that we've been given here and to buy it back, to redeem it. I want to turn to Alma chapter 5. And I want to turn here in Alma chapter 5, I want to read verse 37 and I don't know, I'll read a couple here. It says, therefore I say unto you, the time shall come, and it shall be at the last day, that he which is filthy shall remain in his filthiness. You know, there is a time that we will no longer be able to change or buy back or redeem. That this day of life, you know, Jacob says, it passed by like a dream. It says they mourned out their days because of all the things that happened around them. And there's a time when it can no longer be changed. But it says, now, my beloved brethren, I've said these things unto you that I might awaken you to your sense of duty to God, that you may walk blameless before him, that you might walk after the holy order of God after which you've been received. And I would that you should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandment of God at all times. I want to stop there for a moment, and I want to just have us think about this for a second. You know, that are you every day, awakened of your sense of duty to God? You know, I think about it, it's like that conversation I had with that former coworker that, you know, I wasn't redeeming, I wasn't paying attention to, I wasn't considering the moments that I had, that I should have as a servant of God, as a minister at that time, as a member, I should have been taking opportunities to build up. And instead, you know, I left that person with the thought that I had been unwelcoming, that I had been undesirous of their company. And the truth is, I was. And I failed that, you know, and I failed my duty to God. And I can't get that time back. And I have the benefit of repentance, and I know that I can be forgiven, and I asked for that from this friend of mine, for which she wasn't upset. But it doesn't change the fact that, you know, 3 years, however many days, however many hours I spent there, as much with them as I did with my family, more so than I did with you, that I didn't spend any time walking after the responsibility and the duty that the Lord had given me. You know, in Colossians, in the 4th chapter, in the 5th verse, it talks about that you walk worthy of Christ among them that are without, redeeming the time. That as you have opportunity and you interact and bump elbows with this world, that you are walking as a Christian and that you're taking advantage of the time and the opportunities that are there. It cracks me up anytime I talk to our brother Trevor Ratt, and Joel knows this because if he can get someone to listen to him, he will hold them there for as long as they're willing to stay there and talk about the Lord and all those things because he wants to redeem the time. And I don't know, to each his own. Maybe we're not all like that. But are we looking for those opportunities? You know, we have this duty and this responsibility to God, and that we walk after what we have received, the blessing and the gift of Jesus Christ and the knowledge and understanding of Him. Are we sharing it? Are you sharing it amongst each other? Are you sharing it there? I want to keep your place here in Alma chapter 5, and I want to turn to Alma chapter 16. I remember years ago I was wanting to turn my life around, and as I was working in the hospital every day at lunch, I would sit down and I would read the scriptures, and I made all sorts of notes and underlining and all that sort of stuff. And I read this particular scripture in Alma 16, verse 230, and it made such an impression on my heart. And, you know, I had to ask myself if this is what I was doing. It says in verse 230, it says, "For after this day of life, which is given to us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness wherein there can be no labor performed." And I have underlined in there in red, where the rest of it is green, that word improve. And I have a footnote on the side that this definition of improve means to raise to a more desirable or excellent quality or condition, to increase the productivity or the value of. And so I consider that when I read this particular scripture, that after this day of life is given for me to prepare for eternity, but while I'm here, I am supposed to improve, I am supposed to increase the productivity of my time, the value of my time, that my time that I have here, however many minutes, however many seconds, you know, if it's 47,829,600 minutes like my Uncle Jim and still ticking forward, or if it's, you know, as my father, 51 years or whatever it is, if I'm not improving, if I'm not being productive, and productive in those things that matter, you know, Christ spends this time talking about in the scripture that we lean on when we're having difficult times, you know, that we lay ourselves up treasures in heaven, and that we put first the kingdom of God. And that if we're not doing that, we're not improving time, these evil days that look to take and hold captive our hearts and our minds. So how do we improve? I have two more scriptures left, and I will have given you extra seconds today. You flip right back to Alma chapter 5. You know, verse 39, he says, "I would that you should be humble." You know, we improve our time. We have it to be a more excellent quality when we become aware and when we become acknowledging of who we are and who the Lord is. And we acknowledge His goodness and His mercy to us and all these things. You know, I found myself as I've been recently considering administration and those times when I'm called on to administer to somebody. And, you know, I had this thought, you know, there's this ordinance that the Lord has put there to bless His people for no other reason than because He loves us. No reason why He ought to bless us there. We have not done anything to deserve it. And yet, how many of us have received that blessing? And so we have all these reasons to be humble because we have one who has blessed us and guided us. And when we live in a matter of humility, acknowledging what has got us where we are, who it is, and where our blessings come from, we begin to gain back time. We begin to gain back and to make valuable and to improve the moments that we have here, that we're supposed to be submissive, you know, being willing to follow after the Lord when He encourages us and directs us, and to be gentle. You know, I haven't spent my whole life being gentle. Being gentle on others when I disagree with them, being gentle on others when they show up on my squad and they interrupt the good thing that we have, being gentle to other people, easy to be entreated, full of patience, long-suffering with others' failures and difficulties, temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandment of God at all times. There's a scripture, and I've referenced it many times in Mosiah. It says, you know, when we follow the Lord's commandments, He immediately blesses us. When we spend and we take those few moments to do something the right way, we get back a little bit that this world and that humanity looks to take from us. Asking for whatsoever things you stand in need, both spiritual and temporal, always returning thanks unto God For whatsoever things you do receive, and see that you have faith, hope, and charity, and you will always abound in good works. I'm going to leave you guys with just a thought and just to ask you this as you go through this week and as you go day by day, as you finish your day and you lay down at night and you offer your prayers, is that you ask, did I improve my time today? As I interacted with people, you know, I think about my cousin Zach, and not only has he got these guys that he lives with for 48 hours at a time, right? But he's going and he's interacting with people in difficult times and having struggles, and some of them legitimate and some of them not. You know, those moments, every minute of that 48 hours, are they being redeemed? Are they of use? Are they of value? Are they of benefit? I know you're not sleeping during those 2 days, right? So we have to take advantage of the time that we have. We're not going to have it forever. You know, parents, are you taking advantage of the moments that you have with your children? You know, knowing that they're fleeting. In your marriages, however long your spouse and you are married now, you know, are you taking full advantage of it? Are you serving God together? Are you kneeling down and praying together? You know, that was something that I failed at as a father and as a husband for a long time, is that, you know, my wife and I, we prayed, but we didn't often pray together. And it wasn't a use of our time. Because we were stronger together when we do these things. And so as you consider your walk and you consider the moments that you have here, however long it is, are you improving? Are you redeeming? We're called to do that. And these are the very simple thoughts and the things that have been on my heart throughout this past couple weeks. And I hope that you would consider these things as you walk through this week, that you're taking full advantage of the moments that the Lord has given you. I appreciate your time this morning.